Good afternoon. Can I see that sun streaming through there again? Certainly changing temperature conditions we've had today. Adjusting. So this afternoon, in this period of some instructions and guided meditation, I'd like to continue on from Jill's talk last night about the Brahma-Vihara and talk a bit about metta. But just before I do, I was listening to some instructions given by Bhikkhu Anālayo, who some of you will know. And so when I hear the word metta now, I hear his voice, which sometimes happens for you too. And it's metta, metta. I can't be Anālayo, but it's got a lovely quality. And in fact, for him, he just needs to say the word metta, and it evokes, arouses metta. But it made me, I think, on a slight tangent, about working with the hindrances and about the acronym of Gil Fronsdell's of Bella. Bella. And thinking about how it is that, and Bella being that beautiful mind that's free, when we're free of the hindrances. And how easy it is for us not to be able to remember what the A is, you know, which is appreciating the absence of the hindrances. You know, we sort of think about, oh yes, being with them and examining with them and trying to lessen them and maybe a bit of letting go. But you know, to forget, to remember what it's like to be with the absence, to appreciate those qualities of mind in the absence of the hindrances. So I thought maybe we could borrow a wee bit of Analia's pronunciation, and rather than just saying Bella, it's like Bella. And the A is for appreciating the accent. That'll help me remember it anyway. Bella. So, metta. So, these Brahma-Vihara, these divine abidings, these beautiful qualities of the heart-mind, or the heart and mind, if you want to think of it that way. They have both a mental and a heart, physical components to them. Well, not really components, but we can experience those aspects of the Brahma-Vihara. And again, reminding this word metta is this kindness, friendliness, sense of goodwill or benevolence. Yeah, and great to explore the words that really have that evoke the intention of metta for you. Sometimes, as Jill said, the word loving kindness can produce a bit of a reaction to some people. So just finding a word that really speaks to you of this heart-opening quality, of this wishing for this goodwill for others and for ourselves. And metta, like other beneficial mind states, are both the fruit of our practice, the fruit of our insight, our mindfulness practice, and qualities that can be specifically cultivated. And that's what we'll do today, is to specifically orient our attention towards cultivating these qualities, and in particular today, metta. Cultivating this sort of warm responsiveness to ourselves and to those around us. And as the quality of metta develops, it becomes one of radiating. So we develop an embodied sense of metta, become aware of the bodily sensations associated with metta. And we practice abiding in that first, abiding in the bodily mind-heart sensations experience of metta, becoming familiar with that. And then as that familiarity is there, then we can really open to that radiating outward quality of these divine abidings. So Bhikkhu Anālayo has a sun simile that he uses to describe the Brahma-Vihara. And he says, regarding the distinct quality of each divine abode in the context of the sun simile, metta would be like the sun at midday in a cloudless sky, illuminating everything equally and providing warmth in all directions. Just as the sun shines on what is high and low, clean and dirty, so metta shines on all without making distinctions. The sun keeps shining independently of how its rays are received. It does not shine more if people move out into the open to be warmed by its rays, nor does it shine less because people move back indoors. Similarly, metta does not depend on reciprocation. Its rays of kindness shine on others out of an inner strength that pervades all bodily activities, words and thoughts, without expecting a return. From the centre of one's heart, metta shines its rays on anyone encountered, just as the sun shines in all directions from its position in the midst of the sky. Similarly, of this quality of metta, the sun. I know my teacher Savannah Bazaghi used to often talk about the gentle rain of metta, like that gentle rain that just falls on everything equally. Similar sort of simile. So while we may know spontaneous moments or periods of this experience of metta, there are also practices we can cultivate to support the opening of the heart and the freeing of the heart's natural capacity to be able to respond to life with this goodwill, this metta. And like mindfulness, it can be a training. And as Jill said last night, mindfulness also supports the Brahmavihara practices as we can be aware of what arises as we cultivate the particular heart qualities. So last night when Jill was talking about metta, she talked about her birds, the birds in New Zealand and Australia, I think they were. And she talked about the piwaka waka, the fantail, flitting about in the forest here. And it's sort of hard not to imagine a friendliness or when one thinks of the piwaka waka. And so we can bring to mind, you know, perhaps an animal that encapsulate that sense of metta, and that our hearts respond to. We could just take a moment now to do that. You know, it could be an animal that you've seen here. Either tui in the kōwhai, or the swallows roosting or darting about. Or the plump kiriru sitting in the tree. It can be the reassuring song of the grey warbler, the riorio. Could have been a stick insect. Or it could be a pet. Maybe a young animal, a puppy or a kitten, a calf. And it can be a person too. Just someone that a being that cultivates an uncomplicated, simple experience of warmth and friendliness. So just taking a moment now to allow that image or thought to be present. And tuning into how that feels in the body. Maybe there's a sense of perhaps some calm with it, or maybe some softness. Might notice some softness in the face or warmth in the heart. Just noticing for you in this moment if there's any particular sense of bodily sensations associated with the metta. Other sensations, or there may be no particular sensations, and that's okay too. Just allowing ourselves to stay open to how we respond to these practices. So I'll just talk a little more about the metta practices before we go into the guided meditation. And there are different ways of cultivating these Brahmavihara. And I'll offer some phrases shortly which are sort of more having more traditionally taught in the in insight practice. And I say more traditionally, I mean in the sort of Western insight traditions. And different ways of cultivating metta works differently for us, for each of us. And I've noticed as well for myself, different works differently at different times. So what's the most useful sort of practice for me? And so it's a practice and a training, and we can just be curious about how we respond. No need to get it right or have a particular experience right here, right now. But just being curious and open. And sometimes, and maybe particularly when we direct the quality of metta to ourselves, instead of, and I know this from my practice and my early practice, instead of feeling those lovely qualities the teacher was talking about of kindness and friendliness and warmth and open-hearted, you know, instead what I noticed was contraction and shut-offness and judgment, instead of wanting to get away from this stupid practice and various other responses. Sometimes we may notice our inner critic or judge. Perhaps a harshness of our voice in our head. I've talked about this before, but I heard an interview on a radio with an author. I think she was, I don't know who it was, she was talking to Kim Hill Saturday morning. And she said she only realised about the voice that she used for herself when she got a dog. And she said her dog had a low IQ and it farted. But she realised that she spoke much more kindly and encouraging to the dog than she did to herself. And sometimes it takes a while, and I think it takes, it's often layers that we go through of realising the voices that we use for ourselves. And so for myself, I discovered earlier on this sort of little resistance to directing kindness to myself. Over the years, there's layers of this, layers, and I noticed at different times that the metta is really resistive in different aspects of myself. Or different aspects that arise in my practice. And so the encouragement really is to notice this, to hold the response with some gentleness, and to remember that this is a path we are on. We aren't at some destination right now. We're just on a path, opening to this, and reducing the tendency to add to the reactivity or the resistance. To trust that we're on the right track, that we're noticing what's happening. We're bringing our mindfulness, our sati, noticing what's happening. And just to try and keep to the intention of the practice, noticing any additional arrows that we might be firing towards ourselves, any additional arrows of reactivity. And like the mindfulness practices that we've been talking about so far on this retreat, the quality of patience, of relaxation, and curiosity are also important in this practice of metta, of kindness. And as I said, there's different ways that we can practice the metta. So there's the way I was describing before of bringing a being to mind and just really bringing the attention to the qualities of heart and mind and the physical energetic response to that. And we can really work, you know, visualising colour can also be helpful for people. Visualising a colour that somehow embodies that sense of kindness, that sense of radiating goodwill, of friendliness. And also we can use phrases. And I'll offer some phrases here, which are ones that are reasonably commonly used. I think one of the important things with the phrases is not to get tripped up on the words. Often certain words might have triggers for us, and we notice a resistance to the word, and it doesn't support our cultivation of this quality. And so while I offer some words, I encourage you to find other words that really speak to you. There's nothing particularly magical about the words I'm going to use. We want words that are supportive of the opening of the heart. And just one other thing I remember while I'm talking about that is that all of these four Brahmavihara that we particularly talk about as these divine abidings, there are some other qualities of heart that are also really good doorways for this practice. So people on the retreat have been talking about both the generosity practice that we that Jill invited us to at the start of the retreat, and also the gratitude. And both of these qualities can really be known in the mind and known in the heart and body. And I would encourage during the walking or the sitting, when there's moments of gratitude, of thoughts of gratitude that arise, to take some time to let feel those into the body and to let those seep through the body. Because that too will give that quality of that embodied sense of these wholesome qualities that we're wanting to cultivate and to be known. So the phrases that I'll use in this practice will be may you be happy and peaceful. May you be healthy and strong. May you be safe and protected from inner and outer danger. May you live with ease. I'll offer these through the practice and do tweak to suit your particular what works for you. Yeah. So let's take some time for some practice.